this is Salt Ashes and you're listening to Interview Under Fire.
All right, everyone, welcome back to a brand new edition of Interview Under Fire. This is once again your host, Sunny. And with me today is the insanely talented London-based singer-songwriter in Vega Sanchez, commonly known as Salt Ashes. It's an honor. Thank you for... I'm laughing because we spent like the last half hour trying to get a good connection. Thank you so much for joining our IUF series today, Vega. This is an exciting time of the year for you because with the release of your brand new studio single, Too Many Times, which recently dropped here on Contra Records, I also want to give a shout out to Cut You With A Kiss, which features your collaboration with Maddox Jones, your recent Counting Crosses EP. I mean, you've been busy, which is a great thing. And first things first, Vega, I want to commend you on all of the well-deserved recognition you've been getting so far. Shout out to the other revered publications like Billboard, Guardian, to name a couple who praised your work. There's just so many things to unravel about this collection of mesmerizing songs and who you are about as a person. But before we get to all that and beyond, I know we talked about it again before the interview started. How are you? How has London been like for the last 6 months? I'm just glad you have Wi-Fi back. I know it's raining, but how are you now?
It is absolutely pouring it down with rain. But other than that, rain aside and Wi-Fi issues aside, I'm good. It's been weird, obviously, the last year or year and a half, but yeah, I'm great.
And go ahead.
I just can't complain, you know. Lots of people have had really tough times and I'm not been one of them, so I've been really lucky.
Yeah, and making the best of a situation is, is easier said than done process, and you have done that, and we technically have done that for the last 40 minutes. I'm going to keep going back to the whole Wi-Fi thing. That's a great story to tell. I do want to wind the clock back, Vega. I want to go back to maybe just a several years, maybe almost even a decade back, now that I'm thinking about it, to 2014. I want you to think about that year in your head, because for fans and listeners who may not know, if you could just briefly talk about that moment in your life that led to the beginning of your journey on Salt Ashes into who you are today, because you've been on quite the journey, Vega. I mean, does it feel like everything also went by in a blink at the same time?
Yeah, it's funny. Time is such a weird concept, isn't it? Because on one hand, it feels like such a long time ago because of the amount of things that has happened over that period of time. But then on the other side, it feels like yesterday. But when you think 2014, God, that was such a long time ago. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Time is such a weird, it has that.
Yeah. And obviously life as of late, many of us have also been away from the stage a lot, you know, fans and musicians alike. Now that, you know, things seem to have a light at the end of the tunnel, how have you been keeping up your vocals these days? Is that affecting your musicianship? Has anything changed for you routine wise lately, if at all?
Yeah. Oh my God. definitely. When I first went back into the studio and when I was recording this second album, actually, I noticed that it had impacted my vocals a lot. At the start of the pandemic, I was doing a lot more singing. I felt like I'd sort of stopped from all of the running around and was just able to kind of enjoy my voice again just play with it rather than be like, I must write, I must do this, I must be recording, I must be gigging, I must be on the go all the time. And I was beginning to enjoy that playfulness again, but then I got lazy with the singing anyway, and started to just like live a little bit more in terms of like cooking and being house proud and enjoying like barbecues with my friends. And as I said, I'm lucky that I was able to do all of that stuff. And then when I went back into the studio, I was like, oh my God, what's happened to my voice? It was like, what? It's like, and I did one round of recording and was like, and I'm a perfectionist anyway, but listened back to them and just was, he said to my producer, we can't use these vocals. And he's like, no, they're okay. I was like, no, we cannot use these vocals. We have to record them again. And I had to go through a process of exercising my voice and actually getting it back to where it was. And, went to see my singing teacher, and it was a proper process of being like, wow, yeah, my muscle won't work actually if I haven't been using it for 5 months.
Yeah. And talking about your muscle working, your muscle has worked during the touring life, right? You've been at this for a while, Vega. And I do begin to think about, you know, how was the touring life and the live music experience for you personally? Because you've done some touring, you know, you've opened for artists such as Tova Sterka, Say Lulu, Nemo, Bright Light, Tiffany. I mean, that list goes on. And now we've been all kind of just been forced to take this unexpected step back. You know, I'm sure this time lately hasn't made you develop a growing appreciation of the touring life, you know? Like, what was your favorite part about it now that you, you know, 15 months into this, do you ever just take a look back?
I miss gigging so, so, so much. It's the thing that I miss the most, definitely. You can't beat that feeling of being on stage and connecting with an audience like that and just being able to sing, tell your story in that way. And with the right crowd, that level of energy is just amazing. And that's something that I've really missed, as well as probably every other musician in the world.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate for fans and listeners who don't know, I just want to give Vega just a shout out, because she's been a trooper trying to get the Wi-Fi signal going. So I really appreciate you for taking the time to tell me all these things. It's been a quite the journey for us, obviously. We know each other so well already.
I know. You know my house.
Exactly. We took a tour around the house and everything, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's funny, like, because the whole Wi-Fi thing, I'm sure you've seen this for the last year and a half with streaming, obviously recording, doing these interviews, doing these podcasts, live streaming. You've seen all these bands do, you know, what they do on stage or taking it to the screen like we're doing right now. I do want to get your take on this, Vega, because with the amount of touring you've done, with the amount of experience that you've taken in, the venues you played at, do you think that the rise of the quarantine-induced live streaming we've been seeing for the last year and a half, technically, is that going to affect the touring musician business going forward through your perspective? Like, has it already been affected? Do you still see bands and artists doing something like this, even, you know, once we head into 2022?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think people have seen the value in being able to reach more audience members, reach more people across the world from one performance. Personally, I did two performances like that, and really, I shouldn't say this, but I hated it.
That's okay. I want you to be unfiltered. Everyone has their own opinion on how they feel. Because I've had bands who say, oh, I'm not doing anything until all this is over. And some artists would say, yeah, I love to do live streaming. It gives me a chance to engage with my fans. Mm. I mean, yeah, you can, you know, go crazy and mosh in your own room, right? For as long as you want. But you kind of hit that creative barrier. Like, okay, I did the live streaming. Now what do I do? But sorry, I know I cut you off there, but I just wanted to add on to what you were just talking about.
Yeah, I do think there is value in it. And I think that I probably should try and find a way that works for me. I just didn't find that. And I think it was just such a shock to the system to be, you know, going from doing quite like a sold out headline show, which was like my first ever sold out headline show. And I was so excited about that. And then like the next gig, pretty much, I think it was the next gig or the one after that was, you know, on my laptop. To no one clapping, no, you know, you're just there and you're in. I was by myself as well. And I was like, it was actually really nerve wracking. And I hated that there was no vibe. There was just zero vibe. And I think if you can push past that, I think some people love it. And I think as an audience member, if you're in Brazil and I'm in London and you can't fly over, come to a show, then it is great. So I'm not saying that it's bad. I think I probably just need to find a way that works for me, because I do think there is value in it. But I just want to get back on the stage, like, desperately.
Yeah, and we look forward to the day when that actually does come out. It's always an interesting thing. There's no right or wrong answer to what you just said, because, like I said, there's that uncertainty going forward. But hey, we're making the best of the situation. And speaking of which, I know we talked about everything except the new music. Let's get to that now, because too many times. Dropped June 23rd, if I'm correct, on Contour. I believe you have a new EP coming out later this year. I don't know what you can and cannot say about that. That's true, right? Okay. So feel free to add on to that, because
album number two.
It's exciting stuff. And I also want to state that this is the follow-up to your 2020 Counting Crosses EP, including the standalone single, like I mentioned, Cut You With A Kiss, which, you know, that song, what is it? It landed on landed you on number 19 on the UK iTunes pop single chart, number 40 on the iTunes overall singles chart, which is, you know, a big step for you. And you've also had other singles in the past that have also landed you on the Billboard charts from the self-titled. Pressure, that word, does that ever creep into your head when you see and hear numbers like that, especially when you sit down to write songs again?
Sunny, I put pressure on myself every single day, even without the numbers. But yeah, I mean, you always want the next one to do better than the last one. And if it doesn't, it does feel a little bit annoying. But I mean, all you can do is just enjoy the journey, right?
Right.
Which is what I'm trying to do, because when I do focus on those numbers, it's not the best thing in the world.
I think it's okay to take a look at that, because something that I tend to think about, the more successful you are, I think it's easy to lose track of yourself as you see yourself kind of just go up the ladder, you know? And it's also important to kind of just kind of push everything away and kind of just take a deep breath, just exhale and like, okay, kind of just remind yourself why you do what you do and kind of just go back in there, you know, with that humbleness.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's something that's important to you, that's something that you do think about.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's that message is remembering why are you making music? What for what purpose are you making music? Just to constantly be doing the next best thing, or like to get numbers or to be in the charts? And yeah, of course there is an element of that, but ultimately I make music because it makes me feel good, and I want to get a message out there, and I want to make other people feel good. And if I achieve that, even just on a small scale, I have to remind myself that that's great. You know, that's success to me.
Yeah.
And I love, like, if I get someone sending me a message telling me how much a song has affected them in a good way, or, you know, it reminded them of something that happened in the past or whatever, that for me is like, it speaks 1,000 words. Like, I love that.
You know, you have a fan page, right? On Instagram, you have a few of them. So if you haven't seen them already, they're saying exactly what you're talking about. And it's true. Just go search on Instagram. And speaking of which, I kind of want to put this out there, because my mind will go crazy if I don't say it, because with this song, in its entirety, it's definitely one of the more genuine singer-songwriter outputs I've come across in recent memory, because you had those mix of dance elements. I'm going to get to the dance element in a second, because there's so much more I want to dive into. You've had elements of disco. Shout out to, Giorgio Moroder, the father of disco, as he's popularly known. R&B, alt-pop, reminding me of Elizabeth Rose. I don't know if you know about that singer. So if you get a chance to Google her up, like just search her on YouTube, reminding me of a lot of that. You had that similarity. You had vibes of dark melodies. You had hooks in there with catchy verses. What is it? Zeitgeist club sound. That's like the common saying I'm seeing a lot. You've also had that cinematic tone with also a modern twist of everything that you are, which makes you stand out from that saturated field of singer-songwriter realm and the genres that I mentioned. You really have that otherworldly vocal range. You know, you definitely go above and beyond. I mean, you're talking about not being able to get your vocals right earlier in the interview, right? You definitely have done that now. And with Cut You Like a Kiss and with Too Many Times, I know I'm putting on a lot right now, but take me through this, Vega, because I do know you have that new EP you're working on currently that's slated to release later this year. Could these songs, I don't know, could this serve as a sneak peek into what's to come on the new material you're working on, or are we barely just touching the surface here? Interview Under Fire. This is it. This is what you're talking about, like putting you on the spot. Now we're doing it. We're just missing the chicken wings. That's all.
I think for sure what's to come is a step in whatever direction you want to consider it to be, in some other direction. It's definitely very different from the first album. It's definitely very different from the second EP. Of course, there are elements in there that tie it all together. My voice being one of them, of course, and just songwriting style, I guess. But this album is, I would say, is slightly more commercial than the others. I think what's happened with this album is that I haven't been so precious over what I've been writing. As in, I have just allowed things just to kind of pour out of me. And if I like it, I just go with it. Whereas normally I'm a little bit more precious and a little bit more, I like to hone things a little bit more and spend quite a bit of time on things. But this time we both, my producer and I, we had the approach of let's just churn them out. Let's just churn them out. Mm-hmm. And then we pick the best of the best. And there was quite a nice process to do that. And as a result, I think we've actually come up with probably more commercial stuff than I've ever written. But it's also the most honest stuff that I've ever written as well, to the point where some of them I'm like very nervous to release because I know that certain people will be listening to them and I know that certain people will know that the songs are about them. So whereas before I feel like whatever I've written about maybe was slightly more hidden, you know, slightly more cryptic for the people in my life, whereas this is very honest and very brutal.
Yeah. Before I get into that, because I know the lyrical themes is a big part about who you are, the production on this, especially with Too Many Times, it sounded very polished. It sounded pure. It sounded from the heart. Like I heard everything. I've become an audiophile these days. I'm very picky on how I want my music to sound, the way I want it to sound. I didn't have to press any EQ buttons for this one because how well this was all put together. I want to give a shout out to the late Daniel Friedholm. He's known for his work with Cruelty and, of course, Rob Irving, who took part on your 2016 self-titled. Shout out to Louis Suyave. Hopefully I'm saying his name right.
Louis Suyave, yeah.
Yeah, and who took part on Counting Crosses. This time around, as far as the production, mixing and mastering, who did you go to for that? Did you bring a whole different team together? Did you work with, you know, some of the same people that you did with in the past? How did that come all together?
So this album, I've worked with Louis Suyave again. Okay. On for the entire album. We've brought in a couple of people as instrumentalists. So we have a guitarist and also someone who's done some strings, also potentially bringing in brass for one of the songs.
Yeah.
Because we're still actually in the process of finishing it now, but we're so close. So Louis and I have worked together now for, I think, about 2 years or maybe longer now, 2.5 years. And we just have such a great relationship that we're at that stage where we feel like brother and sister. And it's almost like, no, I don't, you know, we can shout at each other and get annoyed at each other over something and it might be a problem 5 minutes later, you know. But I think the reason why that's so great is because we are very much in each other's heads and we really understand each other. And it's as much as it's all Louis's production really on this album, but I am there. I jump on the computer, I jump on the SIP. So it's a very collaborative process. Yeah. Quite often in the past when I've worked with producers, sometimes they can get a little bit precious about them. You know, it's their production. They want to do everything. They want to play all the instruments and that's fine. But it's quite nice to have that space and freedom with Louis that I get where, you know, if I'm not quite articulating how I want something to sound, he will encourage me just to get on and be like, well, you do it, you know, you show me. And I'm like, okay. And then I'll try as best as I can to show him with my producing abilities. But it's quite nice that it just feels very collaborative in that way, which is really, really lovely.
I think having that sense of comfortability in the studio with someone like Louis is very important. Shout out to him I can't wait to hear now, like everything else that you have left to put out on this upcoming, you know, release that you have planned for. Now, between writing and structuring the songs and the production process, like you just talked about, this is the part that I really was excited for because I want the listeners to know how important this is to you. I'm going to quote you here. Okay. You said, "There were a few tears along the way, but I did it and I'm really proud." The lyricism throughout your songs, especially Too Many Times, origins of that center around your personal experiences with your anxiety and the moments when you sometimes feel pretty crappy about yourself. Again, a quote that you said I have it right here. "I thought this would be a great moment to prove to myself, yourself, that I'm not rubbish and I can achieve great things when I just push and don't give up." Here's the thing. These are topics which are never an easy thing to discuss. Yet here you are doing that on such a productive outlet like music, especially at a time like today. It really resonates with a lot of people, you know, tackling tender subjects like anxiety and insecurity. Having said all that, that music video is quite the sight, because I know you directed, you produced it, you choreographed it, you stylized the entire video. And of course, with Cut You Like a Kiss, that's also about questioning the integrity of someone's new girlfriend and believing that she isn't good for them. You know, I began to think, Vega, again, I'm putting on a lot here, because I began to think about themes. Like, to what level do you like to have a theme or concept for your music? Is that more about helping you write or sound, or is that more for the audience? Like, how important are themes to you?
You know, I think when it comes to writing, I tend to just go with whatever I'm feeling that day or whatever has happened to me in that week. And then things will kind of spiral from there. There are a few times where things, the things that are I'm passionate about, then I go, actually, I really want to write a song about that. But it's important to me to just be honest as possible. Because I know for me, when I'm listening to an artist, if I can hear that honesty, and it's such a cliche, I know a lot of artists say this, but
that's okay.
You know, honesty and authenticity and like, but it's true. But it, you know, it only works when it is true, and it's bullshit. Sorry, can I swear on here?
It's rubbish. That's okay.
It's rubbish when
it's bullshit. We're gonna say it.
It's bullshit when artists are saying I'm so authentic, blah, 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 and they're not actually being authentic. So I think it's quite difficult. I think it's difficult to be as honest as you can be. I think that's quite hard, and I think I've struggled with it over the years. And for me, that's the thing that I strive for the most now. It's like just be honest and stop filtering myself. Just go for it. Just do it. And so, in terms of themes, I think that is the theme really overall. Just to write whatever comes out. Don't filter myself, and don't doubt it as well, because that's something that I do all the time.
So I mentioned that too many times, right? That music video, you got to take me to that, because I feel like you raised the bar for yourself as far as that music video is concerned, because you had this ballerina doll that's just sitting there. I'm a huge movie fan. I went to film school for 3 years. So that cinematic tone that you had in there with the whole ballerina doll waking up, like, when did that start for you? Is that the typical thing, like, where you like, oh, I'm gonna, you stay up, you know how you stay up late at night and that's where the ideas come? Like, how did you, because you did that whole thing by yourself, which I just love seeing that you really took that to heart. And what is it, you had those two shadow figures that were technically you, and kind of just playing those roles of anxiety and just pressure. Like, how did that, how long did it take to complete? There's just so much I want to dive into it. Like, where do I even start? You can see that I'm fumbling around with my words here, but take me through this. Like, when did that start to where you ended up finishing it? Like, did a lot change in that music video along the way? Did you already know what you wanted to show?
So I had already written the song and we'd already produced it. I think it was only a couple of weeks before the song was out that I really had the idea. What actually happened was I had intended to work with a director, and I was trying to contact lots of different directors. All the ones that I really wanted to work with were unavailable because it was such short notice. We only had maybe 3 weeks to finish the video, so it really wasn't long at all. So they were all busy, and it just got to the point where I was like, it was to the point where pressure was like, we just don't have enough time. I can't find the director that I like to work with. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to do this by myself. And I was really, really feeling it. And what I do when I'm trying to think of a music video is I sit and I stare at a white wall for about 3 hours, and I'm not even joking. So I'm just sat, I just sit like this, and I just like run through all these different ideas in my head. And I recently started therapy, and something she led me through this exercise where I basically ended up being in a room with two versions of myself. And actually the idea came from that, because I realized, God, I think there are these two different versions of me. One that is more mindful and calm and, you know, likes to take note on beauty in the world and just like slowing down and breathing. And the other one's like, right, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need to do something. Give me something to do. No, we need pressure. Like, we need to be doing something all the time. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. So I'm constantly kind of going between these two people. And I just thought, actually, that person is quite stuck in my head. And then I remembered about having this dream, recurring dream when I was a child, about this, you know, the ballerina mm-hmm. music boxes that come
yeah.
up.
My mom used to have one of those. People has it. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
I'm having a dream about that and just imagining myself as this ballerina and feeling like almost sorry for this ballerina, as if like, God, this ballerina is literally just in this music box and it just lives there the whole time. And I remember just kind of picturing myself as that. And for some reason that came up in my head and I decided to merge the two. Also, the music at the start of Too Many Times is quite like, with the synth sounds, it's got mm-hmm. that kind of doll like, I don't know, my producer and I always used to laugh because we always kind of imagined this doll like dancing like this to this. That's so good, wasn't it? And so with all of those three ideas, it just kind of, yeah, merged together. I don't really have it wasn't very linear. It was all just a lot. And again, I was staring at the wall for 3 hours, probably longer than that, actually, just going through it. And I've noticed now that is my thing to do when I need to come up with an idea. That is what
sit and stare.
I do. Yeah. I have to sit and stare because I with this next music video, I have been like listening to the song, you know, trying to visualize it with the song. I can't do that. I need to sit and I stare at a wall. I need to like visualize it as if I'm looking at the picture.
Such you can see how my okay. I got really obviously. You can see I'm stroking my chin right now. I'm excited for that next music video. You have that knack for being a director. Hopefully, hey, direct a short film for all I care. That's because you could definitely have that. It's interesting you talk about the instrumentals. So I want to mention something like this because I want to mention this on this podcast because this is important to me. The irony of you telling me this. I discovered this show on Netflix called This Is Pop. Have you seen this?
No.
So. Because what you're doing with the instrumental, as I was hearing the instrumental parts of Too Many Times, you know, it had that, I felt like it could stand alone on its own. I don't know if that's a goal that you had in mind, but I kind of separated the two from the vocal tracks, the instrumental tracks. They stood by itself as I kept hearing it over and over and over. This pop group, Ace of Base, we all know about Ace of Base and what they did, right? Are they Swedish or are they British? I can't. Anyway, whoever was listening, do that Google and correct me if I'm wrong. But what they did, why they're so important to pop is because they actually, what they did, they took the sound that they had and they wanted to make sure they can plug it in clubs, nightclubs, dance clubs, disco clubs, and they could vibe to it without the vocals. And then they added on the vocals and that's how it became the hit. What I'm seeing the same thing here, and you're doing it to perfection because we don't get enough of that. You have that instrumental part that can actually, it can work in clubs. I mean, and I'm just a fan out of millions out there, but I feel like that'll really work if you do decide to do that. If Louis is listening to this, please
why not?
Try that out. Because
it's quite funny. Sorry to cut you off, Sonny, but it's quite funny because Louis had actually that initial synth part in the beginning.
Yeah.
He had produced that for something else. And when he played it to me, that's when I was like, I want this. Like, we need to use this. So I wrote that verse melody over it. And he was like, yeah, this is sick. This is amazing. Let's do that. And then after that, we were kind of like, it's quite a funny story actually, because when we originally wrote this song, it was way before the pandemic. But I wrote the song with very different lyrics and we just had that verse. And then I was like, yeah, let's put like loads of crashy guitars on it and just like make it really weird. And we're like, okay. So I went like down this really weird with that guitar part in the pre-chorus section. And then we just kind of, then it just stopped. Like, we just couldn't think about the next section. We just couldn't figure out how to continue on and like carry on to the chorus. So it kind of got pushed back into the back. And also the lyrics that I did wrote in the verse weren't very good. So that nearly didn't make it. It was only when we were in the middle of the pandemic and we started working together again as like a little bubble that we were like, what about that song that had the really cool synth? We're like, oh yeah, what happened with that? We're like, let's bring it up again. We're like, yeah, like lyrics are really not great. Like it just wasn't really saying very much. And we're like, I give it a go again. And then that's when we were both suffering with anxiety. And that's when we were like, let's just write it about how we're feeling. Like we were really like, let's just get this song. Let's just, we're like, okay. And that's how it kind of all came together. So actually it too many times nearly was not.
Too many times. It's in the name, too many times, right? Because it went through so many yeah. different transformations as to what it is today. And you again, this is the song that it was meant to sound like. And Vega, and for everyone else, check out This Is Pop. Listen to watch the episode called Stockholm Syndrome. That's the episode I'm talking about, because it talks about how kind of the dance music and the pop music kind of just fused in the early 90s into what it is today. And I think what you're doing is we need more of that, because I mean, who doesn't love to dance? I can't really dance, but you know, that's just touching a whole different world of people where you can actually reach your music to. So, my mind is upside down right now, because everything, what you just told me, that transformation of too many times into what it is. I feel like we could dive into this even further, but you know, as you're telling me everything that you've been through, you know, being on this journey, I also begin to think about, you know, being a woman in this music genre where there's so much being thrown at you left and right. There's competition, there's labels, there's fans. And of course, with more younger female musicians and artists aspiring to step onto the scene, Vega, what advice would you have for someone wanting to follow in your footsteps?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just waking up each day, just
making sure the Wi-Fi works.
Yeah, just exactly. Calling up Virgin, saying, "Come on, man, my Wi-Fi is crap." You know, it's hard. It's really mm-hmm. hard. Again, I think I would just tell people to try not to listen to outsiders too much, and try and go with what you feel, because I think if you make a decision based on what someone else has told you and then it goes wrong, mm-hmm. it's very easy to feel bitter, very easy to blame everyone else. Whereas if you make decisions based on what you like and, you know, where your heart lies, then it's kind of, you've got yourself to blame, and then you don't have to hate on the world. I know maybe you hate on yourself, but that's not the point. It's kind of, I just feel like if you make decisions based on what you like, then you know that you've stayed true to yourself and you haven't just been misguided by someone or allowed someone just to, misguide you.
Yeah.
I've done that before in the past. I've definitely had a very strong opinion on something, and then someone or people would say, no, we should do it this way. And I regretted it so much, because I was like, you know, that this A way was the way that I wanted to do it. And I felt so strongly and passionate about it. And I felt like I let myself down. Because at the end of the day in music, which route do you take? Really, is there a right way? Is there a right way to do things, to release music? There's no real equation. There's so many different ways that you can release music. There's so many different ways it can become successful. So I think as long as you stay true to yourself, then, and it works, great. If it doesn't work, then try it a different way. But you'll always feel happier, I think, personally, if they're your choices.
And I can attest to everything that you just said, you know, from the different experiences and perspectives in your timeline that you have taken in, which we have discussed about performing for as long as you have, and the people you have met and worked with doing these songs, and including your mental health and upbringings, your relationship with your producers and the fans. I mean, this whole pandemic, obviously, and it sounds like you still have much left to put out there with your artistic vision. And I'm excited to see where you go from here, Vega. I mean, this is definitely something that you have a passion for, and you've experienced plenty already in your career and then some. Have your aspirations as an individual or a musician, have they changed or evolved since when you first started performing in the industry? Like, do you see things differently today?
Yeah, when I first started performing in the industry, my goal was to get a record deal, as most young musicians, I assume, want to get. And when I got that record deal, it was amazing, but it was like, not much has really changed other than I've signed a contract. But the work still needs to be done. You still need to be putting 110% in. Just because you have that record deal or publishing deal or whatever, and you have a team of people around you, you still need to keep fighting. You still need to keep pushing. And what I think today is, for me now, what's important is that if I can continue to make music full time the way that I'm doing now, to me, that is success. Yeah. If I can continue to change one person's or just reach one person who has heard my song and that song has affected them in a good way, then that's success to me. And before, I think it was much bigger. I think it was must get top 10, must sell out all of my shows. I mean, God, yeah, I really want that too. I really do. But I will be very, very happy if I can just keep making music full time at this level. I'd be happy with that.
Has it ever crossed your mind, if you weren't a musician, what would you be doing right now?
I have no idea. I mean,
that's an answer. That's definitely an answer.
Yeah, no, but so many times, I mean, look, I still have it now where I have so many doubts and I'm like, oh God, maybe I shouldn't be doing this anymore. And I'm like, maybe there's something else I should be doing. And then I really think about it. I'm like, but what would I mean, I think I have the capabilities of doing what I want to do if outside of music, like most people, but I don't think I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Doing it. That's the thing. When I was 8, well, up until about 12, I wanted to be a veterinary nurse. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be that now.
It's funny you say that, because when I grew up, I wanted to be an astronaut. I mean, that was just, I'm just a sucker for astronomy and all that stuff.
Never too late.
No, I guess. I mean, I'm 32, but I come from a family of musicians, you know. Music is my mom's a professional artist, you know. Both of my brothers are, we own a record label together and they're both drummers. I think they play like 10 different instruments each. I play the violin, I play the bass, you know. It's kind of just always been rooted in my DNA. And now I'm here with my own publication, talking to amazing, talented people like you. It's, you know, it's like you kind of find your way through life and you try other things out. But what's it called? I got this from the freaking X-Men movie, that quote, if you throw a ripple into a river, like, it will always find a way to correct itself. You know, it doesn't matter where the current goes. I don't know. I think that's from like X-Men First Class. Anyway, but it's something like that. That's what I'm trying to point out. It's what you just talked about. You know, I feel like if you give a passion for what you do, it really goes a long way. And I think it's also, it's weird to say this, but I welcome the haters. Like, you know, I think you kind of need to have that negativity. At least for me, I wouldn't be here today without all that negativity in my life. You know, I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's like, it kind of pushes you to, it's like, okay, fine. If you don't believe me, I'll believe in me, you know. It's just, but then you have, you know, we people like us meet and then we kind of push ourselves to get to where we wanted to get. Am I making sense at all? I feel like I'm just rambling.
You are.
You haven't said anything for the last minute. I'm like, what am I saying?
I was just blown away by you saying that you come from a family of musicians and they all play like how many instruments and you play the violin. And I was like, because it's actually the complete opposite to me, because none of my family in music, they can sing, but not like you,
of course not.
No, they can sing, but none of them have done it professionally. And I think my mum's side, there are a lot of people in my family that are definitely very talented, like dancers and talented singers and musicians, but no one's done it professionally really. So for me, it's like this whole new world that I have to kind of discover by myself. I mean, I don't know if it's any different coming from a family of musicians or not. But I always felt like, oh, it'd be so cool if my parents were musicians and they could just show me the way and how to do it.
It can get intimidating. By the way, not calling out your family. I love your family. They don't know me, but they're all talented. We're all talented. But yeah, it can get a little intimidating. You know, I can't play the instruments as well as all my other siblings do. I have three siblings who they all play different instruments. So, and when my mom sings, it's crazy. Like you walk around town here in Dallas, you're like, hey, you're Nasreen's son, aren't you? I'm like, that's how they know me, you know, because I'm son. Yeah. So if anyone who doesn't know, I'm going to add this because I'm from Bangladesh. That's where I was born. And she's actually famous from back home. Like it's everybody knows her. It's like, wow. I don't know, like probably not the best example, but like Madonna here would be like her over there.
But, wow. That's so cool.
But anyway, Vega, I know we covered so many things. I can't wait to do this in person, but I know we're nearing the end of our interview, sadly. But usually I end my episodes with a pretty fun topic. And I know we touched on this a few times. We touched on film. We touched on, you know, other different artists. But I kind of began to think, like, as you're telling me about everything that you wrote about the themes within your songs, do you have five favorite, I don't know, I would like to say pop, but five favorite artists who've influenced you growing up that you can think of at the top of your head?
Growing up, so not now.
Oh man, now you got me thinking. Okay, either one, whichever you want to tackle.
Just a mix of the of two.
Yeah, that works.
Okay, so growing up, a band called Change, Georgia Moroder, Jeff Buckley. Bjork, Kate Bush.
Oh my gosh.
Now Sev DeLisa, FKA Twigs, a band called Leisure that I've been loving recently. A band called Parcels that I love at the moment as okay. well. Jungle. In the middle, Todd Terrier, Daniel Avery. Oh God, I can't.
I need to look five. All this up now. Kate Twigs. It's interesting you say that. I can actually see the resemblance there. There was also you also pointed out Kate Bush. You also mentioned there was another artist in there.
Evdeliza.
Yeah. God, there were like 10 different artists you just named.
I
know.
I'm sorry.
But I think that also shows kind of like how impressive your whole catalog can be, because now you're talking about a new album. Like, I wonder how much of that can come from influences like those artists. But anyway, do you have two more minutes?
I do. I have two more minutes. Yes.
we know each other so well now. We've been talking for like 2 hours since this all started, but we touched on cinematic tones. Five favorite movies you can think of at the top of your head.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot.
The Shining is one. Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind.
Okay, you're somehow you know my list already.
I was gonna say Pulp Fiction, but I don't think it is. It's just something that just came to my head. Labyrinth. Have you seen Labyrinth?
Yeah, of course. I've seen all those movies. I'm biting my nails so I don't interrupt you.
Guilty pleasure, and everyone's gonna hate me for this. Grease 2.
Guilty pleasure, Spice World.
Ah, nice. Yes. Excellent. Yes, Spice Girls. Oh God, that was such a good album. I loved that album. Oh, that, you know another artist that I love?
That movie is it's genius, by the way. So the comedy is just so on point. Anyway, go ahead. You were gonna say something.
I was gonna say another artist that I love is Mur. You know, M with the O with the slash. She's like, it's Mo, but it's like the O. She's like, she's a Danish artist. Yeah,
I will have to look that up.
She sang that song by Major Lazer called Lean On. I think you would know her anyway.
I'm sure I do. I don't know why I can't ring a, it's not ringing a bell right now because so many things are racing through my head.
Yeah.
How many did you name? Is that four? Because you have that guilty pleasure.
Do we need more? God, I can't think now.
I love that you have The Shining in there.
Yeah, The Shining was so good. Oh no, my mind has literally gone blank.
That's okay. I know we covered so many things. Vega, this has been such an honor. I'm gonna let you get back to your life now. I can't wait till we do this again. Do you have any last words, just any shout outs, anything you'd like to plug in or mention for too many times before we finish things off here? I know you talked about that new music video coming out soon. I don't know what you can and cannot say.
Well, exclusive just for you, because we know each other. We go way back. The next single is coming out on the 6th of August.
Okay.
And
so this episode will air. I'll probably make it have it air like sometime next week or maybe even early the week after.
Okay. Well, I would have announced it by then. So great.
Oh,
so
the okay. Next okay.
Single,
that's perfect.
So the next single, so it's not an exclusive. I'm sorry. The next single is coming out on the 6th of August and it's called Love Love. And then the music video will be out after that. And then the last thing I want to say is thank you for having me.
Man, this has been great. Hopefully there's a time that comes soon for you to come to the States. I'm hoping to come to London, and because that's like
London.
That's like one of the places that I have, like, actually two places, Australia and London, the two places I really wanted to be after this whole pandemic's over.
Don't come now, it's a shit show.
Like at one of my, it's crazy because the reason why I want to go to London so bad is because I grew up listening to the Spice Girls, you know. It's like, it's funny coming from someone like me, because I grew up listening to, like, you know, Metallica and like Iron Maiden, and but then you have the Spice Girls. Like, I grew up with that genre of pop, and
right,
just going there. And the movie is absolutely amazing. Watch it soon, because it's just a great movie. Spice Girls is a great movie. Vega, what we'll do is we'll stay in touch on the socials. I'll keep you posted once this episode airs. I can't wait to see that new music video now. It's nice to have things like that to look forward to, obviously. And then the new album. And everyone who's listening, this is the mesmerizing Vega Sanchez, Salt Ashes, obviously. And Too Many Times is out now on Contour Records. Please keep an eye out. And where can people follow you on the socials?
If Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all at Salt Ashes.
I need to think about getting a TikTok. It's like the craze now. Everyone's talking about getting a TikTok, get a TikTok. That's like how people get around these days. But we'll see.
I'm still getting to grips with it. I'm still rubbish on it. So
I can't do it. Like, I see people do all these like videos of themselves with like music playing in the background. It's like, how do they have the time to do this? Like,
I know. It takes me a day to make one video, and it's just what I just find out.
Well,
come and follow me on TikTok, everyone. I'm doing my best.
Please do, and please keep an eye out for Salt Ashes' new album, slated for hopefully later this year, if anything does change and doesn't change. Don't forget, you can listen to this podcast on all major podcast streams. We'll be on YouTube as well. Check us out on interviewunderfire.com. Vega, this has been amazing. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Have a great time with the shoot tomorrow, I believe. I'm glad your Wi-Fi cleared.
Thank God.
Oh,
thank
man. That's going to be great. That's such a great conversation we'll talk about in the future. Anyway, you stay safe and I will talk to you soon, okay?
See you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye bye. Too many times I didn't love myself. Too many times I didn't feel my body. Too many times I didn't love myself. Too many times I didn't feel my body. Some nights I fail the test, cry black into red. I know what follows, it always follows. Palpitate, electrify.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Interview Under Fire podcast. If you guys liked what you heard, please subscribe and share our channel. And please leave a 5-star review, as that helps us tremendously. If you'd like to check out more, visit www.interviewunderfire.com or our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And finally, we want to thank you all for the support you've been giving us. Keep it burning.